My name is Jenny Williams. I am director for Take the Space Consultants, and I've been knocking around the arts for around 15 years. I've worked at arts organisations, local authorities, arts council, and now I finally work for myself, which is wonderful.
What's the vision for your consultancy?
Well, Take the Space is all about enabling those who are on the margins of the arts and cultural sector to take their space within the arts. I want to put the heart back into diversity and articulate a vision for equality that is based on not on projects and programs and initiatives, but based on the big things like trust and relationships and empathy.
And how do you keep up with developments in leadership?
I work from home, so I generally do a lot of my networking online. I am part of lots and lots of e-groups and blogs, and I keep up to date with other people's blogs and international and global networks like Arterial, and I just keep myself interested in what's going on within the sector and outside of. So I'm Runnymede, Operation Black Vote, all sorts of different things.
So I was going to ask, how useful is networking for you? It sounds very important.
It is, but it also has to work within the constraints of me needing to be at my desk every day, and also having a very young family. So it's, as I said, it's not often face to face.
And how's that changed over the years for you, the way that you network?
Simply from when I've had a family, really, because I'm able to do less face to face stuff.
What's your experience of using the Cultural Leadership Programme, and how has it benefited you?
CLP has been terrific for my career, and they funded me on my CLAW programme out of the Power Brokers Strand, and that was completely career changing. And actually, without the CLAW programme funded by CLP, I'm not sure that I would have remained in the arts, actually. So it was a real turning point for me.
Okay, what projects or activities are you looking forward to this year?
Well, this year I have quite a lot of things that are on the horizon, shall we say. One of the big things that I have is that I am bringing together the finest minds in cultural diversity to develop a 10-point manifesto for diversity arts practice. And I'm also really excited to be finally completing my CLAW research and launching my Take the Space website with a blog site, so I can put all of these ideas that keep pinging around my head somewhere.
Fantastic. You're one of 15 contributors to the CLP's new publication, A Cultural Leadership Reader. Can you tell us what inspired your article, Black Leadership and the White Gaze?
It relates to my research, actually, because I took myself off to the Tutu Foundation to do my CLAW placement. And there I learnt all about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which was a complete turning point in South African history. And I thought, I wonder what we can learn from that experience that we can bring into the arts. And actually, I learnt so much. And one of the things I took was about root causes. What is the root cause of things that happen? And we know that race equality in the arts is not doing what it should do. It's been here for 32 years, and there has been improvement, but there is still so much to do. So when I was thinking about root causes, one of the things, I came across four root causes, and one of them was the white gaze. And it's really about thinking differently to how we approach diversity practice. And I put it to you, if we thought differently about partnerships based on knowing that there is this undercurrent, then how would partnerships look? If we knew that we were developing partnerships that were unequal from the beginning, that we articulated that, and that we moved on from that point. Now, for me, that's really, really exciting diversity practice. And for me, that has the potential for us to change things completely. But in order to get that point, we have to be honest. We have to be honest about what we can achieve. We have to be honest about having really, really tough conversations and having the humility to hear things that make us uncomfortable. And so that's really where the white gaze has come from, I suppose.
That's really interesting.
I should add,
Go on.
I should add that actually the white gaze isn't new. It's a really old concept, and you know, it's been knocking around for a very, very long time. So it's not something that I've come up with.
You mentioned Toni Morrison.
Yeah, that's right. And what was fascinating about what she wrote about is she was saying that actually once she recognised the white gaze, that was the moment when she could play. You know, that she could actually let her creativity flow. So are we, if we don't have these conversations, we are actually stopping the flow of creative expression. And nobody wants that, do we?
No, we don't. In the piece, you discuss how difficult it can be to get out of this white gaze because organisations are unaware or unwilling to change the way they do business. You discuss what you think can be done about that just now a little bit. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Only that I think that especially against today's tough climate and all sorts of things going on outside of the arts and cultural sector, that the area of cultural diversity should be driven by culture. I'm completely passionate about that. That actually, if we don't lead these conversations, then who is? And it worries me that if it should be left to the politicians. It worries me that we shouldn't, as the cultural, creative and cultural industry, be at the fore of having these tough, exciting conversations. So that there is stuff that we can do, and I feel that we are the people that should be and can do it.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.